You are now listening to The More Abundant Life. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for the program, and this program, The More Abundant Life, features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. I'm glad you've joined us today. Today we're going to conclude the sermon entitled Enlarge My Vision, which was begun in the previous broadcast. From time to time, we have to divide these programs and these sermons into two parts because of the length of time that we're restricted to here in our time slot. So, Enlarge My Vision Part 2. Before we get to the message, here is some music that's going to inspire you. A song entitled Somewhere.
Flowers dance in spring in the icy wind, they fade away. Morning brings the dawn, soon the night will come and shade the new day. Things eternal, I keep this hope burning in my soul, that somewhere the night is shining, somewhere a world out there is waiting for me. So teach the children well, tell them God has got a home in the sky. Help them find their way to a place where dreams never die. Soon this darkness will be over. I know we'll see a bright and better day. And oh, somewhere the night is shining, somewhere waiting for me, and I believe we'll get there someday, and love will light the way and lead us home. Somewhere the night is shining, somewhere is waiting for me, and I believe we'll get there someday, and love will light the way and lead us home. Love will light the way, love will light the way and lead us home.
You are listening to The More Abundant Life. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. Glad you've joined us here. We just heard music by Wintley Phipps, the song entitled Somewhere, and that's from the CD release entitled The Power of a Dream. Pastor Phipps is going to conclude the message entitled Enlarge My Vision in this broadcast, and he's going to begin that right now. Here now is Pastor Phipps.
All of our lives, when you realize that life is more than fun and games, you realize, well, amen, are you with me today? Life is more than about trinkets and trivialities. You realize life is more than about fame and fortune and TV. It's more about more than stocks and bonds. All these things have their place, but there comes a moment in the life of a young person, and I'm preaching to some young person today, so that you will know there comes a moment when you realize that life is more than about Xbox and Nintendo and PlayStation. It is more than about millionaires selling shoes to poor people. It is more than what you realize. Life is more than about money. It's more than about career, more than about rappers and MTV. There comes a moment when, like that young boy Jesus, you got a chance to enlarge your vision and move it beyond BET. Are you with me today? Move it beyond MTV. You've got a chance to choose a larger vision, to choose to be about your Father's business. And it is no accident that you're sitting in this church today. It is no accident that you're being pricked and that you're hearing what you're hearing. The time has come for you. You're past 12. And still you got no vision. Each of you, you're going to have to decide. You're about, you know, some people get jobs and they're about their employer's business and they're not about their Father's business. Every day, you ought to ask your Father to order your steps. You know, sometimes well-meaning people would try to push Jesus into things that he didn't want to be involved in. And he kept saying, no, it's not time yet. You know, in life, you can peak too soon. You don't realize everything is timing. Too many of us try to manage our own lives and we end up just doing crisis management. I said many of us try to manage our own lives by ourselves and all we end up doing is managing from one crisis to another. Now this is the most important thing I'm going to say in this message, and I want every young person to hear me today. Without a commitment to a larger vision, nothing seems to go right. You're wondering why nothing is working out, why doors are not opening. Help me, Jesus. This is not just for young people, this is for some older people too. Without a larger vision, without a commitment to a larger vision, nothing goes right. I told a young person this week, you've got to get, you know, some people, young people, struggle and don't get it together. Have you met any young people like that? I said, you've got to commit yourself to something larger than yourself. It is when you commit your life to something larger than yourself that things start to come together. God says, say it again. It is when you commit your life to something bigger than yourself that your life starts to really come together. Without a commitment to a larger vision, nothing goes right. I read a story once of a knight riding through the forest. He spotted a little sparrow lying alongside the road in a very peculiar position. And he got off his horse, bent over the sparrow, saw the sparrow was flat on his back, feet pointed towards the sky. The knight said to the sparrow, what are you doing down there, lying on your back with your feet up towards the sky? That seems like a very strange posture for a sparrow. The sparrow replied, I've just heard a very convincing report that the sky is going to fall. And the knight thought about this and then replied, so the sky is going to fall, And I suppose you think you're going to help hold it up with your feet. And the sparrow simply said, you do what you can. Some of us, help me, Jesus. You're like little sparrows. You're trying to hold up the world. Amen. Some people think that there is to their life. That's all there is to their life. And so I just, you ever heard anybody say, you ask them about, what's your life about? Well, I'm just trying to do what I can. Amen. The truth is, you can't get where you're supposed to be going in life without a commitment to a larger vision. You cannot get where you're going in life until you have a commitment to a larger vision. You will not become what you're supposed to become. Most of us don't take the time to ask God's help. God does not throw together your life in the morning in some haphazard fashion. There is a clear purpose. When you got up this morning, God had your life laid out. Oh, are you with me today? But most of us never see that. Constantly, we're not keeping on track with what God has planned for us. Listen to what it says. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 139, verse 13. Listen to what David said, verse 13. 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. You covered me in my mother's womb. Verse 14. I will praise thee and thank thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious, verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number. Oh, my God. Woo! How precious are thy thoughts about me? How great is the sum of them? If I should count the thoughts you think about me, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. God made your life with a plan and with a purpose and with a destiny. And you've got a chance today to embrace a larger vision. Help me, Jesus. If your life is not driven by a sense of God's plan and destiny, you are missing out on an adventure. I said, you are missing out on an adventure. There is nothing like knowing you're living what God had just planned. There is nothing more, are you with me today? There is nothing more exciting. I'm going to say it again. There is nothing more exciting than getting up in the morning and knowing that the next step you take was ordered by the Father in heaven, sent down through the Holy Spirit from the throne of God to your mind. There is nothing more exciting. And you can live your life like that. But you must first be committed to something bigger than you. We are so selfish. As human beings, all we think about is us. How am I going to do this? When am I going to get? Can I pay my bills? When will the door open? Stop thinking about you. Stay in the house of God as Jesus did in the temple and see that there is a larger vision. And when you embrace it, you know, you got to do that, because every day, not only does God have a plan for your life, did you know the devil's got one too? Amen. He is a planner too. He will. Are you with me today? He sits around with demons. And he said, now we got to plan his day for him. Oh, are you listening to me? We got to plan her day. Now, she says she wants to pray when she gets up in the morning, but how can we distract her first thing? What can we do to get her off track? Yeah, she's got good intentions. Yeah, she wants to read a Bible, but we got to plan her day. So here's what we're going to do. As soon as she opens her eyes, let the phone ring. Get her talking to somebody else before she talks to God. Amen. You know I'm right. And then I want you to shake up her husband so he gets up with a bad attitude and let them get in a fight even before they go to work. He's got your day planned for you. Well, I want you to know Jesus knew his destiny. And because he knew his destiny, he kept his eyes on things eternal. Because he knew his destiny, he sought no throne among the temporal thrones of the day. Because he knew his destiny, he refused every earthly robe of authority. Have mercy, Lord. Because he knew that larger vision for his life, he knew his destiny, he clothed himself in our humiliation. Because he knew his destiny, he wore the crown of insult and ridicule. Because he knew his destiny, he prayed, Father, let your will be done. Because he knew his destiny, he knew that scorn and contempt were unavoidable in his life. Oh, I want you to know, some of us run from scorn and contempt. But listen, when you serve the Lord, expect some of it. Don't expect to be liked all the time. Or I should say most of the time. It was my joy to meet Mother Teresa on several occasions. And I'll never forget, she was being interviewed by a reporter who asked her, Mother Teresa, how come the people in India suffer this way? And we who live in the Western world, we don't suffer like these people in India suffer. Why is that? And Mother Teresa thought for a moment, and then she said to that reporter, I think it is because we are not worthy. You have to think about that a minute. She was saying to have fellowship with him in suffering, you must first be worthy. Because he knew his destiny, he lived with the conviction that he would suffer, that he would be killed. Because he knew his destiny, he believed that he would stay in the belly of hell for 3 days. But one day, his father would raise him up after the third day. Because he knew his destiny, he lived in anticipation of the cross. Because he knew his destiny, he had mapped out in his mind the road to Golgotha. And he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, nothing can mess up God's plan. plans. If you are living out God's plans for your life, nothing can mess that up. Doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. Doesn't mean you're not going to have questions. But nothing can mess it up. The devil will try to turn God's original plan for your life upside down. But in the end, God's purpose and destiny will triumph in your life if you will only embrace a vision that is larger than yourself, your house, your cars, your home, your bills. Your embrace a vision larger than you. Help me, Jesus. So I ask you today, are you about your Father's business? Or is your life a discord, a jangled symphony? Is your life full of meaning? Or is it filled with confusion? Is your life full of advancement? Or are you stuck? Are you moving forward? Or are you going backwards? Are you wandering in the wilderness of disenchantment and discontent? I want you to know God wants to fill your life with His power, with His purpose, with His plan, His, hallelujah. Make His business your destiny. Make His business your destiny. Years ago, I made my choice. I wasn't 12, but I was 16. And I said, God, from this day forward, I will be about my Father's business. I've never looked back. And I got to make one more point. You know, when Mary and Joseph lost Jesus, here's what Ellen White says. If Mary and Joseph had kept their minds upon God by meditation and prayer, they would have realized the sacredness of their trust. Oh, did you hear that? In other words, Mary and Joseph weren't spending their time traveling back, keeping their minds upon God. And when you don't keep your mind upon God, you lose what He has entrusted to you. Oh, wow. When you don't keep your mind on God, you lose all that is precious to you. She said, by one day's neglect, they lost the Savior. And it took them 3 days to find Him. And so it is with us. Let me tell you, I gotta say this before I close. You can lose Him by idle talking. You can lose Him by foolish talk. You can lose Jesus by talking nonsense. Young people, talk about the things of the Lord. If you don't, you will lose Him. You can lose Him through speaking evil about other people. When people sit up on the phone, you know, sometimes I learned early in my pastorate, you better click twice when you're talking to somebody and you think you're finished, you better click again. Oh, yes, I learned that. You know, some members, you know, they're talking to you, oh, pastor, and then they click and they think you're gone. And then you hear some stuff. Help me, Jesus.
Who does she think she is?
You will lose Jesus by foolish talk. You will lose him by your neglect of prayer. And you'll find sometimes when you lose him, it takes you a long time to get back. Doesn't take long to lose Jesus, but it'll take you sometimes weeks and months to come back to that place of strength where you were. And now, somebody needs to embrace a larger vision today. I don't know who you are, but you know you're stuck. You know that your talents are larger than what you're doing. You know your gifts from God are bigger than this place, this 4x6 cubicle. Ask yourself, have I embraced that larger vision? And that is that I must be about my Father's business.
That brings us to the end of the message for today. It concludes this two-part series on Enlarge My Vision. I hope that this message has been a good one for you. I know it has been for me. There's so many, many points that Pastor Phipps brings out as he proceeds through the stories that he tells and also through the message. So many things. I hope that, and I know that there's something that you were able to pull out that you could put into your life, into the practice in your life today, right now. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please refer to this program number 378, which is a reference for the title of this message, Enlarge My Vision, Part 2. And you're going to go to the Seabrook Church website. Seabrook Church sponsors the More Abundant Life, and we're happy and glad that they do. At Seabrook Church, you may reach this information site at seabrooksda.org. The website again, seabrooksda.org. There's plenty of information there for you about the More Abundant Life, and you can also make a donation at the Seabrook Church website. We welcome those, and we're thankful for those who have given donations in prior times. Well, that's all the time we have for today's program. I hope that you'll join us again for another program. Until then, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I want you to remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.